As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Mo DeKeel for your Friday morning update. Before we start, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast and get it ad-free along with all the writing over at The Athletic by going to theathletic.com/NBA Show and signing up. Action-packed first night back after All-Star, Mo. Not bad for the Chicago Bulls. They are back, and this game, you know, we're going to start it the same way the Bulls finished it because DeMar DeRozan was just ridiculous in this game. The Bulls beat the Hawks 112-108 thanks to 37 points from DeMar DeRozan. He started off with 16 in the first quarter, and you know what, Mo? He just finished this game off exactly the way that DeMar DeRozan's been doing all year, right?
He just gets to the mid-range. I mean, it's not even that. It's 12 points in the fourth quarter. He goes completely nuts with that, and he just gets to his spots. Like, that's just the thing about DeMar. You know, he's going to get there, and you know what? Doesn't matter if you play good defense, because it was good defense on him. You know, that was a tough shot. It was a foul that they end up calling, but still, like, you're right there on him, and really, he didn't have any open looks, and he just knocks down those shots. Like, that's just an impressive... Wait, 5 for 5 in the fourth quarter for DeMar DeRozan on his way to 12 points. Like, man, that's just tough to beat.
And it was, I mean, this shot, just a pull-up jumper. And Bogdanovich was all over him, as you mentioned. And just the landing zone just really bit him. And Bogdanovich had a good game offensively and I thought defensively in this game, even though DeMar just did DeMar stuff. But this one mistake cost him the game. DeMar hits the free throw. And that's it. And part of the reason why the Bulls were able to win this game was the defense of Ayo Dosunmu in this game on Trae Young, man. He was spectacular. Trae Young, overall in this game, 3 of 17, 0 of 5 from 3, Mo.
Yeah, and you know what? Put up goose eggs in the fourth quarter. You know, 0 of 5 from the field, obviously 0 points. Didn't even get to the free throw line in the fourth quarter. Just listen to that again. Trae Young did not get to the free throw line in the fourth quarter of this game. You know, and Dosunmu was awesome on him. He had a great play. I think it was around the 6-minute mark in the fourth quarter where Trae Young comes off a screen. He actually stops him from getting the cross back, and Trae Young ends up traveling on the play. Just small stuff like that. That dude's relentless on the defensive end, and obviously the big one-on-one stop before the big DeMar DeRozan bucket. And I know I'm rambling here, but just one more shout out. Good job from Billy Donovan not to call a timeout. Hey, let's just go with what we got. You know that they're not going to be able to get Trae Young off the court in that instance and sub him out. You're not going to let the Hawks put their best defensive guys out there. And they were able to roll right into DeMar DeRozan getting that jumper.
That's right. And you know, part of the problem here, Mo, is that Atlanta didn't exactly use the clock to their advantage. You know, it seemed like they pulled up a little bit with about 2 minutes to go.
Not even that. I'll tell you what, the biggest problem was the play with 45 seconds left. That play, which Ayo does stop Trae Young, they have the ball with 45 seconds. You know you're up one. there's going to be at least one more Chicago Bulls possession, you need to get a good look. Instead, they burn clock for a long time. They allow the Bulls to set their defense, and now Trae Young's got to make a play running up against the end of the shot clock, and he got a tough shot. It was almost a layup, but DeZuma was there the whole way with him. You know, he wasn't able to shake him, and I think that's just not smart offense, you know, at the end of games from teams, you know, that are trying to run this burn the clock offense situation when you know the other team's still going to have a possession. You need points. Run your offense. Run good stuff. And in particular, Gallinari was cooking in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Gallinari finishes this game with 26 points, and you just can't waste games like this from Gallinari if you're Atlanta. You haven't been good enough all year. Bogdanovich off the bench with 27, and Mo going forward for Atlanta. This is more of what they need from those guys. They're not going to get, you know, 53 points out of that pair, but if they could get 40, 45 points from both of those guys a game, they got a pretty good chance at advancing a little bit further in that play-in spot.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's all they need, because they're also not going to have many games where Trae Young is going to go 3 of 17 from the field and 0 for 5 from 3. So, you know, it's just kind of leveling that stuff off. So I think it's important that those guys kind of continue to play well and keep it going. And they got to stay with it. Of the 26 points from Gallinari, 13 in the fourth quarter. Like, he was just on a roll, and they kept feeding him. And that was an important thing. There were a couple of bad Trae Young shots in the mix in the middle of that run, but for the most part, they kept going to the guy that was producing the most, and that was Gallinari in the fourth quarter.
Now, I want to talk about Zach LaVine a little bit for Chicago. He had 20 points in this game, 7 of 17. Coming back from the knee injury, Mo, I thought early on he didn't attack the way that we've seen him do and take advantage of with DeMar out there. But end of game, I got to give him credit for the defense that he played.
He just locked in. I mean, this is just him, you know, he's not a great defender, but He has the tools to be a really good defender in the league, and there are times where you see the flashes of it, and this is just one of those nights where I thought he was pretty locked in defensively for the most part, especially on that last play where he has Bogdanovich. They switch the pick and roll. Vucevic steps up and does a good job contesting Bogdanovich on the step back. But, you know, Vooch and LaVine, good job there defensively. I mean, Vooch had a big block down the stretch too. Defensively, pretty solid effort from the Bulls in the whole fourth quarter.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In Minnesota, D'Angelo Russell scored 23 points in the fourth quarter. Let me repeat that, Mo. 23 fourth quarter points for D'Angelo Russell. Hit 37 in the game, and the Timberwolves beat the Grizzlies 119 to 114. Mo, I'm not really sure what happened, but D'Angelo Russell has all of a sudden turned into a really good basketball player. He's making great decisions, playing good defense, and now lifting the Minnesota Timberwolves up in the fourth quarter against a superior opponent. Who is this guy?
This is the D'Angelo Russell I was always expecting when the Lakers drafted him. No, anybody buying that? Anyone? Nobody? No? Okay. It's awesome actually watching the evolution of D'Angelo Russell, right? Not a good real run with the Lakers, kind of revitalizes his career a little bit in Brooklyn, goes to Golden State, doesn't really work out in Golden State, gets traded to Minnesota. And even the first year in Minnesota, it was kind of like, what do we got here? And things like that. But this year under Chris Finch, like, he's really kind of blossomed into a player that's, you know, I know when I'm going to go and attack. I know when I'm going to go score the 23 points in the fourth quarter, like you said. But the big thing to me was the 9 assists. You know, he was diming out guys too, and he was finding opportunities for everybody and making plays. You know, granted, had 4 turnovers, but that happens when you have the ball in your hands as much as he did. And he really picked up the slack for a night when Anthony Edwards wasn't really rolling on the offensive end. And I think that's kind of just a solid performance from him and just, hey, my team needs me, I'm ready to roll. And he's sort of just providing whatever they need. It's been pretty impressive to watch kind of the evolution of him.
Yeah, in a game with Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, Ja Morant, and Jaren Jackson Jr., he was the best player on the court for the majority of the game, although Jaren, I thought, you know, played up to his standards. We got to talk about Ja Morant because, you know, in this game, I'm going to give him a lot of credit. The guy got to any spot he wanted. The jumper didn't look great. Didn't matter. He was getting in the lane, and he was finding guys. Shots weren't falling. He was 7 of 25 in this game, 20 points. But, Mo, scary moment in this game. He kind of pulled up on a drive, and he immediately grabbed his hip, left the game, seemed to be in a lot of pain, was limping back to the locker room. And okay, we were all worried. We're glad that he's fine. But Mo, he came back out there in the fourth, and this is a regular season game that you don't need to win. I'm sorry. I wasn't a big fan of that, Mo. How do you feel about it? I understand letting a guy play if he wants to, but at a certain point, don't you need to hold him out?
Yo, this was incredibly reckless from Memphis. I'm sorry. Like, you're watching him. He's and to his credit, he was balling even when he came back. As you said, getting to all his spots and things like that. And that's kind of what makes Morant incredible, because everybody knows where he's going and they're still not able to stop him with those things. But at the end of every play on the offensive end, he would put up a floater, make a pass, take a shot or whatever. You would just see him kind of hopping on one leg, you know, and he was doing all this on one leg. Memphis, you don't need to do that. Right now, you're in the third seed. You're pretty comfortable right there. I know you're chasing Golden State to be the second seed, but there was no reason, none whatsoever, to risk that, because you don't want to chase a seeding and lose your star player. This is the guy you're going to need in the playoffs, right? And I love watching Morant, but there was no reason for it. It was incredibly reckless. I imagine they got away with it in this game, but I won't be surprised if he sits out the next couple of games, because he didn't look right, Dave. It was just not a smart decision from them, and I get it. Young guys want to play, all that stuff, want to play through injuries, show how tough they are and everything like that. That's when your trainer's got to go to the coach and go like, yo, he's done. He ain't playing tonight. He's out. And this was not a game that they needed. They're not a team that's in the play-in tournament. They're not at risk for falling in the play-in tournament. This was a very reckless decision on their end.
Yeah, and especially for a guy, you know, he's missed some time this year with injury. You just don't want to mess with that. And look, I'm sure he's fine, and Ja Morant lives to see another day, and we're all happy for that. A couple of numbers stand out to me in this game, Mo, and I want to run them by you, because I think that Memphis is going to kick themselves, or probably did, in the locker room after this game. 40 and 26. 40 free throw attempts. They only hit 29 of them, and they had 26 offensive rebounds. How many points, second chance points, did they get, Mo?
They had 27 second chance points. But the funny thing, Dave, Minnesota had 22 on less attempts, you know, and I think that's kind of the big thing there. They just didn't take advantage of the opportunities that were presented to them. You left points on the board in those opportunities, and you can't do that in these games.
And some inside basketball comedy for you and me in the fourth quarter of this game. And, of course, everyone that listens to Nerd or She Wrote knows how much we love the coach's challenge, and more than the coach's challenge, we love players asking for fouls to be challenged. And Jared Vanderbilt asked for a few to be challenged. He fouled out of this game. Fouls a lot. Mo, how did Chris Finch handle that to you?
No, he handled it great. And there was the one play where Vanderbilt jumps up. He's completely vertical, except he's jumping forward, and that's a foul. And, you know, he's immediately upset going, hey, calling for the challenge, doing the twirl with the fingers, you know, and granted, this is a podcast, but on a video, if you saw that, I was doing the same thing. You know, Finch was just smart enough not to waste it. And I think it was important there, because those are timeouts you need down the stretch, not just the challenge in that scenario, but even just saving those timeouts. That's what's costly. And listen, these players, a lot of players call for challenges. A lot of times they're wrong. You know, and it's or there's not enough evidence to overturn it and whatnot. So I think it was a pretty smart decision from Finch to not challenge pretty much every time one of those guys asked. And I think he should start telling those guys, none of you ever, ever twirl your fingers at me again.
Especially in a close game. You need those timeouts. That's going to do it for the show, folks. Don't forget, keep it locked in to the Athletic NBA Show. We got good stuff coming your way all weekend. And Mo, are you ready for the rest of the season or what, man?
It's going to be exciting, folks. Buckle up.
Hope you guys have a great weekend. Mo, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.